language creates reality. Language helps us see the world. And that's why I have my guest this morning, Christopher Morphew. He is here representing Howard Community College. And we're going to go about and talk about all of the languages that are offered that you can learn at HCC. He's with the ELC Academic Support Coordinator. And, you know, I think it's time for me to just take a step back, mute myself for a moment, and allow you to talk and just, you know, start with telling us a little bit about yourself and maybe where that passion for languages came from.
So my name is Chris Morphew. I work at Howard Community College, and I've been at the college for 4 years now. So this fall marks the 4 year mark. I'm originally from Texas. My wife and I moved here 4 years ago. And when we were there, I got my bachelor's and master's in linguistics. So I'm really, really passionate about all the languages of the world. I've studied five myself. One, of course, English. I've studied Spanish, French, Italian, and Russian. So I definitely get really excited when I'm talking about different languages and the way that they do, as you said, Chris, shape reality. When I got to the college, I started as an adjunct teacher in English as a second language. So I work primarily with international students from all around the world. After about a year and a half or so of teaching adjunct classes, I started to work on some of our special projects in the English Language Center. So working with our Naju students from Naju City, South Korea, who come in the summer, they bring 30 students. And they come in, they hang out with us for 2 weeks. They take English classes as well as do all kinds of cultural trips. And then about a year ago or so, I became a full-time staff member in the English Language Center. And that's my current role, which, as you said before, is the academic support coordinator. So I'm kind of helping in the middle of our program. We have a grant-funded program, which I know you've talked about before, and then a paid tuition-based side of the program. And I kind of operate somewhere in the middle, working with a lot of the teachers on professional development, making sure that new teachers are trained and ready to go when they start teaching. I'm doing a lot of mentoring programs as well. And I've also started recently working with our non-credit world language classes, which we're going to talk a lot about today. So I'm working with coordinating classes, making sure schedules are running where we want them to, offering different classes, and working both with the credit and the non-credit divisions to make sure that we have lots of different things to offer our students.
I work in technology, I'm sorry. Let's talk about some of those offerings that you guys have going on this semester.
So this semester for the fall, it's obviously been a very interesting semester with all classes being remote. So basically the program is kind of divided, the non-credit languages is kind of divided into two pieces. We have basic language classes and intensive language classes. We'll start with the intensive classes since those classes have already begun. The intensive language classes are co-enrolled courses with credit language students. So basically all of the classes that credit is offering in all of the different languages, we co-cross-list them for non-credit students. So if a student wanted to take a language class but wasn't after college credit, they could enroll in this intensive side, this non-credit version of it, take the same class, same instructor, same coursework, same textbooks, same students as the credit students, but just not be taking the class for a credit grade. And those classes run exactly with the credit semester. So they started about 3 weeks ago at this point, and they'll run into December. And we run those in the fall. There are some smaller offerings in the winter time. And then of course, the spring and summer, we have classes as well. And there are lots of different languages for us to take there. And then on the other side of the program, we have what we call the basic language classes. And these are a little bit slower paced, not too much so. They're offered once a week, where the credit classes are offered twice a week typically. They meet once a week with an instructor in continuing education. And these students are generally of a different category. So where credit students or cross-listed students are very often taking classes full-time, they might be a little on the younger side. Our basic language classes kind of fit a much broader swath of the population. So sometimes we have seniors who live in Howard County or who are community members. We have working professionals who want to brush up on their language skills for their job. We have people who intend to travel, who want to brush up on skills before they head to another country. And then we might even have some international students like au pairs or working family assistants who will take classes because not only do they want to improve English, but maybe they want to also improve some Spanish skills if their host family speaks Spanish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's so many ways that we can learn languages, and I having been blessed speaking two languages, I can really, really appreciate the power that it gives you, the openness that it gives you, and the connectivity that it gives you to, as I started saying today, with other cultures, other languages, and just that little extra that it really provides to know a language. COVID came and it changed things completely for everybody. So how are you guys continuing your classes throughout this socially distanced environment in which we continue to be?
It's actually been really interesting. I mean, it's been a huge shift, a dramatic shift in every way you could think of, but it's been really interesting to work through this and make sure that we can still offer lots of different options for students. In some ways, some class numbers have really increased in non-credit. So the number of students who might now find themselves with a bit more free time did register for the intensive cross-listed classes. And I've seen higher numbers of students registered there than I had in previous semesters, which is really interesting. Even so, in the basic language classes, I think that students right now are finding a bit more time and a bit more freedom to kind of focus on some things that they may be put on the back burner for a while. But basically, what we've done is we've taken those same classes and we've put them online. So where an in-person cross-listed class was done face-to-face in a classroom, now we're doing live Zoom sessions. So students are still meeting twice a week for a specific time. They're working both with the instructor and classmates in Zoom. They're practicing activities, they're doing lessons, they're learning different parts of pronunciation or grammar or vocabulary. And then after the fact, after the class Zoom session, they'll meet on Canvas, which is the learning software that we use at the college. And they'll be doing the same kinds of things. They'll be doing practice activities with listening, they'll be recording themselves speaking, doing typing assignments, and all the same. And the same even on the basic side, the classes have gone fully online. And I think this actually gives us kind of a good opportunity, specifically for language students, in that in a normal classroom setting, students might not be able to hear themselves recorded as often, as frequently. And so then, since students are working with Canvas and they're in Zoom, they get to hear themselves a lot more. And it offers a lot more, honestly, teaching opportunities for teachers to say, hey, listen to your own recording. I want you to take some notes on your pronunciation and vocabulary usage. And it gives a lot more opportunity for feedback and for self-improvement. We've just made a total shift to completely online and it seems to be working really well.
That's really cool. You know that I have to say, one of the first was when I started working in radio, when I started speaking different languages, on a regular basis, that was one of the worst things, to have to hear myself speak the language.
Right.
I was my worst critic. I really, really was my worst critic. Every time I would say something, I'd be like, I would be afraid of saying something because I was like, I'm gonna make a mistake. My accent's gonna come through. And it still sometimes gets me. I actually had an interview yesterday where I had to say the word naturopathic. See, and I still can't do it. Naturopathic, I think is how you say it properly in English. And I can honestly say, at the beginning, when I first started speaking English on a regular basis, that yeah, I would just read the word and be like, nope, not even gonna give that a shot, because I was really, embarrassed. I was really ashamed, and I didn't want to make a fool of myself. So I guess I want to take that opportunity to acknowledge that, right? But that is part of the process. And I want to hear from you. What do you say to somebody who's learning a language, and they're gonna encounter that, right? They're gonna encounter those things where there's big words that you just can't put together, or you're gonna have your accent come through. How do we get rid of that fear? How do we get past that and just speak that language?
How to get past it? That's it's really personal. But I think kind of some context there is I think that when students learn language, it's really personal and it can be really attached to identity. Like so, as you mentioned that your first language Spanish. So then learning English after the fact, there's so much attached to that, to so much attached to your accent, so much attached to how you pronounce and what kinds of grammar you use in conversation. And so then we have a lot of students who get just as anxious as you do. When they are recording themselves speaking French in their class, or even just speaking French in the class, we see students who get nervous all the time in a different kind of way that you would see in a non-language classroom. And so as a teacher myself, on my syllabus, I kind of start from there and I set the example that mistakes will be made. And that's where the most growth and the most learning happens, right? If everything was perfect all the time, then you wouldn't have the opportunity to practice that word that you had trouble with this last time, right? And so just encouraging students that the more that you make mistakes in some ways, the more that you can grow. And those little mistakes are opportunities more than they are like negative feedback on who you are or how you're using the language. What I find, especially in an online format, is that the more that they do it, the more comfortable they become. With practice makes perfect, right? So the more that they're recording themselves, the more they get used to hearing their voice. The more that they're speaking the language using certain grammatical structures, the more that they become comfortable, it becomes reflex, more natural. And then eventually that nervousness can go away. You just gotta kind of tackle it. You gotta go after that, right? The fear will be there in the beginning. The more you do it, the more you practice it, the more encouragement you get from a teacher, I think the more that will disappear.
Yeah, I only counter big words now every so often. So all the words have shrunk for me. They're not so big anymore. So, you know, you talked about the basic languages and you said that usually the students are maybe on the younger side. Tell us a little bit about why that is. You know, who are they designed for? What's the goal of the basic languages?
So the goal of basic language classes is to, I think the kind of clear one is to meet the language needs of the students, right? But that can obviously mean very different things. So we want them to obviously reach language learning goals. We want them to be exposed to different cultures in different ways. So where some students are looking for only being exposed to the culture they might experience while traveling, we have travelers classes, right? And that's obviously few and far between right now, but those classes have been here for years before, where students had intended to travel in the summertime, so they would take a class simply to kind of get prepared for that. But in other cases, like in our beginning Japanese classes, students might be very interested in about a lot more pop culture or what the kind of daily life culture is like in Japan. So we have classes that are Japanese that are kind of getting them primed for learning more about Japanese culture in general and how to use a language in that same capacity. You know, but there might just be students who, or older students took Spanish, for example, a long time ago and want to brush up because maybe they have a Spanish-speaking coworker and they want to be able to become better friends that way. So we have, the classes are kind of designed along all those fronts, where some classes might focus on travel specifically, or some might focus on conversation skills. Like in our summer, this past summer, we had a conversation class, or some might be developed simply for using language in general, kind of covering all the different skills. So it's pretty nice that we kind of cover all the different needs of different populations because it's so diverse.
So it's really for anybody who's just interested in even just taking a stab at learning another language or just, you know, getting familiar with some of it.
Absolutely.
What's the difference then with the intensive ones?
So then the intensive, like I mentioned before, they're a bit more intensive, of course, as the name would suggest, right? So the intensive classes are cross-listed and co-enrolled with credit students. So usually students will need to be able to devote more time. So the classes meet double as much. They meet twice a week versus once a week in the basic classes. They're going to have a bit more intensive workload where they'll have more assignments. They won't be given a credit grade at the end of the semester, but they will be given assignments that will be graded, right? So that still happens in the basic language classes, but the goal is a bit more, I don't want to say aggressive, but a bit more direct, right, in the intensive language classes. So students are basically, they're taking a credit class, but they just don't receive college credit in the end.
So how many languages are available right now at HTC to learn?
So we have, like I mentioned, the basic and the intensive. In the basic language classes, we have six different languages available. So we have American Sign Language, we have French, Italian, German, Spanish, and Japanese. And on the intensive side, we have 14 different options available at the college. Wow. Yep, and these are all offerings from the credit side that we co-enroll with. And we have that same set of six languages plus a bunch more, things like Mandarin, Chinese, Hindi, Persian, Turkish, Arabic. So there are all kinds of different languages available.
So what are some of the most popular ones that you guys see that people are, you know, always registering? Like you guys need to maybe even waitlist or create a second class because it's just so, so popular.
The thing we see that the most with Spanish and with American Sign Language, where they're always filling up really quickly. There are lots and lots of sections of both, but other languages that are popular are French, German, and Mandarin Chinese as well.
That's interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do with the way the the world is going, if technology is something that has to do with that. I've always been fascinated by, at first it was just, you need to speak languages, you need to speak English and Spanish, you need to speak English and Spanish. Like, I grew up knowing that, right? And then once I got, I was graduating first from high school, it was like, okay, now you need a third language. And it was like, maybe French, or, you know, maybe this or maybe that. And it was always correlated to the economy and how the world was going. So I've always found it fascinating how we understand as humans, right, the importance of learning other languages and how it dictates which one we should learn over another. It's fascinating to me. Do you find that through, you know, through HEC, through the different semesters, that maybe one semester there's one language that's just really popular, and maybe it's because, like for instance, Korean. I know for a little bit there was a lot of Korean pop culture out there, and all of the kids on campus, you know, were talking about Korean, and they knew Korean, and they were writing symbols. Do you find that a lot?
Absolutely, right. I think some of those trends kind of happen a bit longer term, especially given where we are in Maryland. We're so close to DC, so close to Virginia, and then of course Fort Meade right up the road. So there's a lot of use of different language for jobs all around the area. So we see kind of trends long term, what we call critical languages, things like Korean, Mandarin, Russian. The need has increased really greatly over the last number of years, 4 to 10 years. But then we also see on the short term things like with you know, K-pop exploding in the country, students got super interested in Korean culture, and then Korean, sometimes we see increases in those classes. So yeah, we absolutely see both long term mirrors, but then also kind of a short term mirror, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating to me. That's just really cool. It speaks so much to how the world works and what's happening around you. It, you know, when I started seeing people talking about Korean, I was like, okay, what's going on that everybody now suddenly it's right. wants right. to learn Korean and wants to know something in Korean, right? Mm-hmm. So I know you mentioned that you get that we teach a lot of languages, and we talked about the most popular ones. What are maybe some of the unique ones? Because there's times where you want to learn a language and you just don't know where to go for that.
Right, sure. Yeah, and we do have some of those. Some of the languages that we have that are not quite as popular at the moment, but like you said, are super unique and have really, really interesting features of them. We offer Hindi at the college. We have Hebrew language, Persian, so from Iran, and then Turkish as well. Smaller class numbers, but still really, really worthwhile languages that do some really interesting stuff, interesting grammar, interesting pronunciation. Really unique offerings that not a lot of colleges around the country are offering.
That is very cool to know that there's places where you can go and look for this, I would say, non-traditional languages, right? And you have to have an interest sometimes for some of those languages. I feel Greek is also one of those languages where you either have somebody in that culture or something like that for you to want to explore that language. Maybe traveler, maybe as a traveler option would
we
be.
See that a lot. We also see that with what we call heritage speakers. So these might be students who have family members. So I took Russian classes at the college a couple years back, and actually about half the students in the class were heritage Russian speakers, where their family may be from Russia or from a Russian speaking country, and they were born in the US, but their Russian skills are either rusty or underdeveloped because of being in an English environment all the time. And they really wanted to reconnect with that. I know we see that in other languages as well, where students may have been exposed to the language as a kid, with family, or even just with like a church attendance, or their local community, and they really want to bolster that, to reconnect with that part of who they are.
You know, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because for instance, my children, they speak Spanish. You can have a conversation with both of them. I don't know how well they would write, and I don't know how well they would read. You know, I'm sure that they can figure a few things out, but if they really wanted to use it in the work world or anything like that, I think they would have to go and really brush on those skills of reading and writing properly so that they can actually, I guess, advertise themselves as bilingual for work purposes, sure. You know? Sure. So when we talk about the classes, I know we said right now that most of it is online. You talked about recording yourself. So are there any specific apps or any specific materials or things like that that students need to have in order to register for the classes?
The only one thing that they need going into the class is the textbook. Other apps and kinds of resources they might get offered from the teacher who's kind of combed through the different resources. Like some teachers may suggest using Quizlet flashcard app to practice specific vocabulary that they cover. So there's all kinds of resources that the teachers will specifically choose. But as far as what students actually need to register for the classes, each class will have a textbook. They're all available for purchase and delivery on the HCC bookstore website. And what's cool about a lot of the books is that they're not only good for one semester. I don't think I can think of one class in the languages department that the book is only good for one term. So what happens a lot, and I'll give you the example I mentioned, I took Russian classes. I took all four classes and I had one textbook. So I bought that book at the beginning of the first term in the Russian 101 class, and I used the same textbook for all four classes. We see that pretty regularly. So I know sometimes we look at textbooks and they can be kind of pricey, but you're getting a lot of bang for your buck, where you buy one book and you'll either use it for two semesters or even four semesters. So that's the only extra purchase that students need to make.
Now, you also mentioned the non-credit side of things and, you know, the ELC Center. And I know that that's not really the purpose of our conversation today, but I do want to make sure that we mention that because I think that the work that you guys do over there is fantastic. I've had the opportunity to talk to a couple of people there. And I mean, you're literally transformed lives. You open up doors of opportunity for people who have immigrated maybe to this country and did not speak the language. Then they find out that they can come to HCC. And I want to talk about those different options that you guys have, because sure. It's not just a one way for everybody. There's different ways, there's different options. And I just want to, you know, make sure that we highlight that before we close our conversation today.
For sure. Yeah. So I mentioned before early, my role at the English Language Center is kind of right in the middle of our tuition-based classes and our grant-funded classes. And that's kind of where we see the main division of our classes. The tuition-based classes, we have a huge, broad set of offerings. We have classes that are very similar to the language classes where they cover all skills in them. These might be called like intensive English level 2, for example, where students are practicing everything, reading, writing, speaking, listening, grammar, pronunciation, vocabulary, everything together in one class. But we also offer more specific classes where maybe a student is really comfortable with writing, but they have a lot of trouble with speaking or pronunciation. We have speaking and pronunciation classes for that. Could be the opposite, where students are really comfortable orally, maybe their job, they're speaking a lot of English face-to-face, but when they have to then go on an email or when they have to write something, they have a lot of trouble with that. We offer writing classes for that. We have classes in pretty much everything you can imagine for the tuition-based side, including all the way up to our professional English classes. So we offer advanced high-level students classes in things like business communication or pronunciation training, where tutors get to meet with them one-on-one. At times we've offered English for social media or in marketing classes. So there's really, really a wide set of offerings on the tuition-based side. And that doesn't mean that there's not a wide set of classes on the grant-funded side as well. These classes are generally aimed at students who are really aiming for work proficiency or even sometimes moving towards career goals. So these, we have all skills classes. So we might call these community English classes, where the focus is more on a daily life type of English for students who are building up to fluency. And then once they move through those classes, if they might have an interest in, say, banking and finance, we offer a banking and finance course for English. We have, this semester, we're looking at running a Google IT training class. So students are going to be building vocabulary and competence in English around technology to then move towards those jobs. Even healthcare interpreting programs. So we have a huge, broad selection of classes in the English Language Center as well.
You know, that's super important because I know, for instance, I mean, something as simple, when I first arrived to this country and somebody said to me, what's up? Like, I literally looked up and I was like, the sky, like the clouds, like I gotta know what's up, you know, what am I looking for, right? So little things like that, I mean, make a big difference in it, and having that understanding and having, you know, those nuances and being able to communicate with people in the way that they speak, right? It's really, really important. It's crucial. So I went through that process. I went through that adjustment, really, because that's really what it is, right? When I came here, I had learned formal English at school, but I had wonderful teachers, wonderful, wonderful teachers that I am so grateful for since I was a little girl. But then I came here, and for the first 3 months, I was mute because the speed, the accents, the different accents, and then, you know, the little phrases like the what's up, and, you know, others like that. And then the more complex words, you know, like when I wanted to buy a house and they said, you need a mortgage. And I was like, sure, where do I buy one of those? You know, how much does it cost? Right. It's, again, we started saying this conversation, language creates reality. And the more we understand language, the more we understand the world that surrounds us and the way that people see the world around us. So it is important. It is important that, and I encourage everybody, if you're an immigrant and you, if you're in this country, take a class. If it's for your work, if it's for your own benefit, if it's because you just want to be able to go to, I mean, funny story. And, it was my husband. So when he first arrived to this country, we went to McDonald's and I used to order for him all the time. And then I said, you know what, you need to learn English. So I sent him over to the counter and, you know, he was like, I want a number 5 meal or whatever. Right. And the questions are mayonnaise, tomato, lettuce, and they go over the list of toppings real quick. Right. And my husband, I remember so clearly, he just looked at the cashier and smiled and nodded and said, yes. And, you know, and after that, you just don't understand anything. And I went through the same thing. I came, you know, one of the first things that they asked me at the airport in Miami. And as I said, I studied English all of my life. It was my name. I don't know how she asked my name. I don't know what phrase or sentence or how she polished the question. But she got so frustrated towards the end of the conversation with me. She was just like, name, you know, at the counter at the airport. Because again, if we don't understand each other, we can't communicate, then we just don't, we're living in two really separate worlds. So come to Howard Community College, take a class, explore the language. If you already speak English, but you want to just continue to improve on those skills, just come and do it in a safe environment where you're not going to be judged. Nobody's going to be mean to you, because we've encountered those as well, right? Where you're not going to be ridiculed, because as Chris said earlier, mistakes are the greatest opportunities for growth. And I have been there. I've been through this. I'm still making a lot of mistakes. So I still have a lot of growth to do when it comes to my English language. And I encourage you to come to Howard Community College. And if I still have any questions, because I'm one of those people who goes, reads all the instructions, and then, like this morning, I click and it doesn't work, right? We had to do this 3 times for us to be able to go live. So where can I get in touch with you guys if I still have some difficulties?
cewdlanguages@howardcc.edu is a direct email to me. Again, cewdlanguages@howardcc.edu. It'll come right to me and I'll answer your questions.
You mentioned paying for classes, and I know that for other classes, for credit classes, there are different ways to pay. Are there options also for our language classes?
So the fastest, easiest option, of course, is then using a card right after you register for the class. That's what I think the majority of our students do. If you can't pay at that particular moment, you can call the finance office and do a payment over the phone at a later time. And depending on how much, I know that HCC offers different tuition payment plans for certain classes. I'm not super knowledgeable about a lot of those plans, but contact the finance office and they can give you lots more information about that.
Fantastic. Chris, is there anything else that we haven't covered? Is there anything else that we want to make sure that people know before we wrap our conversation up today?
Well, I think kind of circling back to what we said before, your question was about how do people get over the fear of using that language. And I think sometimes that can be kind of a last step or a last obstacle that students think about before they register. And, you know, it's going to be difficult and I'm going to be making these weird noises and I'm going to have to talk to my peers. But I can say from experience, just jump into it, you know, take a risk and be a bit fearless and jump into that language class. And, you know, not only will you learn a new language, but you'll learn about a new culture. You learn about a new kind of people. Like you said before, language shapes reality, and you can learn how different cultures think and how different people around the world see that same world that you're looking at very differently. And I think it's just a really, really great opportunity to grow as a person and connect a little bit better in a world where right now we're not physically connected. You can still connect with people in a lot of different ways.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
We need you to continue wearing masks, physically distancing, washing hands, and getting tested. But the stress from COVID-19 also impacts our mental health. Many of us are struggling, feeling isolated and alone. Please check in on a neighbor and lend a helping hand. If you or someone you know needs food, help paying rent, or just someone to talk to, visit our website today. Together, we will beat COVID.